Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Courtney Cronin back at it again. Mandatory mini campus here, Courtney, and we've got a little up and down today, but not a bad day overall. I would say as far as a team, this is the best day we've seen from the Chicago Bears in totality. Got to talk about all of that. Got to look at the defense. Heard from the head coach, Matt Eberflus, Montez Sweat, all of them talking about all that and more on today's episode of Chicago Bears Podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Courtney, how are you?
I'm good. I think that you're right when you say that it was one of the better days that we've seen. I mean, what Cole Kmet said about Caleb Williams and the operation today, I think it was in specific to the cadence. We know it was a little rough, but the starting tight end said he felt that was the best day that Caleb had shown just in terms of the execution with that. Yeah, there were a couple times where guys jumped off sides, and that's something that just for like a peace of mind, you want to have cleaned up by the time these next, you know, all 3 days are over. We've got Wednesday and Thursday, and then the vets, I believe, they get to leave, and then next week's OTA is for veteran players will be not mandatory, but this is a learning curve, and this is a process that everybody has to go through with a rookie quarterback. And there were good moments along with some not so good moments. And I think that you can spin that however you want to, whether you want to say it was a good period of, you know, 2 minute drill there at the end and some situation stuff with the defense. But by and large, where we last saw Caleb Williams leave off at OTAs in the 7-on-7 period, much of the same this time with the starting, most of the starting secondary back there, which is good.
Yeah, I think that it started off very high energy. They got themselves going early on. The defense is by far my favorite part of this entire thing. I mean, DeMarcus Walker never stops talking. I literally kept going, I just love D-Walk. He's got everybody fired up out there. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the offense matched that energy early on, and it felt like Caleb came out with a confidence of, yeah, y'all been getting us every now and then, but now I got Keenan, I got Rome, I got DJ, I got D Swift here. I've got my full slate of weapons here to work with. I thought early on he kind of got the defense back a little bit.
Yeah, and I think for Keenan Allen, having been here, this is his first day on the field with Caleb Williams. He was here for some of the classroom work, phase one of OTAs, but last 2 weeks he was back in California. So to watch how quickly he's able to incorporate himself into the offense. And, you know, a lot of this is at walkthrough speed. They're not in pads, but to see, you know, the guy's a vet. He's not running the wrong routes. He knows where to line up, and how unpressed he seemed about, like, when you were asking, like, how do you feel with your on-field chemistry with Caleb Williams? How quickly do you anticipate that coming on? He wasn't like, oh man, we really got to like speed this thing up, or I'm worried it's not going to come together, even though we've had such a short time, because we've had such a short time together. He's done this for a long time with a lot of different quarterbacks and with a rookie in 2020 and Justin Herbert. I kind of got that vibe that they're okay going through the learning curve with their quarterback, knowing that it's not going to be linear. There will be some of those good moments, like you said, and just, you know, having Caleb show, you know, just like a comfort and a feel in the offense, and knowing just getting guys in and out of the huddle, mastering, you know, knowing where people need to be, lining guys up. That's stuff that it takes time.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's showing marginal improvement on a day-to-day basis, I think gives everybody on this team a feeling that at least their plan is going according to how they expected it to go at this point of the offseason.
Let's break it down a little. Offense, then defense, and yes, I will talk even special teams for you. I put the Tory Taylor video up. Everyone's losing their mind. I will say he can punt. Yeah. I will say it went a long way.
We saw the backup punter today, too.
Not a bad backup punter either, which kind of, there was a part of me that was like, could have let him punt. Sorry. Never mind. Tory Taylor love here. We all love Tory. But offensively, what was your biggest takeaway from the offense today?
So 7-on-7 looked a lot similar to what it was last week. There were, if I look at my chart, it was like, I think he went 13-15 again. Mm-hmm. There was the pick that that Kevin Byard had, which it was a good explanation from Matt Eberflus. I thought that he really explained how he was happy to see Caleb go through the progressions, but like when he took a hitch, the ball should have been released, but he took a second hitch and then it was laid over the middle of the field. And that's why it looked like he was throwing it directly to Kevin Byard.
Right.
That was a really like insightful thing to know. Okay. Because at first you're just like, okay, this threw it right to the,
I mean, it was, it looked
right
bad
to the safety. You're like, did somebody run the wrong route? Was there a miscommunication on the timing? And that's all about the mirroring of the footwork with what the throw is, of what the play is. And that's why it's so important. I know people probably hear us say that ad nauseum, but that's what they're trying to gauge. So something like that doesn't happen, to where you're not taking an extra unnecessary hitch, to where you're late on your throw effectively over the middle, which is where I forget who was there. It might've been Gerald Everett who was the intended receiver there, but clearly the receiver ran the right route. It was just that the quarterback was late. That's what you expect though. And to watch, like, as he's learning this offense, and to watch Caleb Williams bounce back and finish 7-on-7, it was a long period for both the first and second team units. I think it was 20 minutes. That's a good takeaway. Again, these are, you know, some of these he was throwing into coverage, a couple of them. I think one with Roma Dunze, one with DJ Moore over the middle of the field. It was Tyreek Stevenson in coverage. But those are the moments that you try to stack if you're Shane Waldron, if you're Kerry Joseph, and if you're Caleb Williams learning how to do this. So then you don't get down on yourself for how not so great the final period of practice was, which was situational stuff. So like they ran 9 plays. There was like 2 false starts in there, couple incompletions, 2 checkdowns that, you know, this defense can't hit him, but they're getting pressure on him right away. Yes. So good sign for the defense, which I know we'll talk about. But I think that, like, by and large, there's a lot of correctable things that happened in the team portion at the end that you hope to see tomorrow, the same mistake not being made twice.
Right. I thought the one thing that really stood out to me, and I think that it stood out over the 2 years, that seems to be the constant. Mm-hmm. DJ Moore's a safety blanket.
Yeah, he is.
I mean,
and he's all over the place too. They're lining him up like on both sides out wide. He is everywhere. Yeah. And you know, we're going to have that question all season long, or at least all off season until we get to the regular season. Who's the number one receiver in this offense? I think it's very clear that it's DJ Moore still.
Yeah. There's a comfort now. Of course, Keenan Allen hasn't been here. Sure. He's going to start working his way in. Maybe there's a change there where he starts to rely on Keenan as much as DJ. But it seemed like to me, anytime Caleb got into a little bit of trouble, he was looking for DJ. Oftentimes he was finding DJ. And it was in, like you said, those moments where he's covered, where there's tough coverage on him, where Tyreek's or Jalen is covering him close, and DJ's still able to come away with that football. That was something we saw that was really something that Justin Fields can lean on last season. And it seems like the rookie's going to be able to lean on that this season as well.
It's a really good piece to have when you have somebody that is that consistent of a playmaker. And even I tweeted out a video earlier, like, it was a ball that Caleb threw to him during individuals, and it was a little underthrown, but like, what happens? DJ Moore is a professional at this. He slows up, knows how he has to contort his body to grab, you know, to make an over the shoulder style catch. Like the toe tapping stuff he does on the sideline, those moments, like I just talked about in individual and in 7-on-7, but they're getting their money's worth with this guy. Like, he's really good. And I think for a young quarterback, considering, I think this is his ninth or 10th that he will have played with since starting his career in Carolina, that's a lot of different quarterbacks. It was 8 in Carolina, so 9 with Fields, and now 10 with Caleb Williams.
Did he get Baker too? Did he have Baker for you? Oh my goodness.
He did.
Yeah.
Baker, Sam Darnold, the whole gamut. Philip Walker, PJ Walker, I think, for a little bit.
Let's hope that this is the last one for you for a while, DJ. We're all hoping there for you. We talked about the positives of the offense. I think there were a lot of positives to point to. What did you see when things kind of took a turn, though? There was that period where the defense started fighting back, and it looked like the offense just couldn't move the football at all.
Yeah, and I think Keenan Allen said it perfectly. Like, in practices, defenses are annoying. In this one, I mean, they're jawing. There was a moment where I don't think Caleb Williams actually got touched. I saw him kind of skirt away, but it was like the O-line and the D-line getting after it. Granted, they have helmets and no pads on, so you don't want – it was – I don't know, would you call it a skirmish?
I would say it was a fight.
Like, there was no punches.
Kerfuffle. Let's go kerfuffle on that one. It was a small – the best part about it for all Bears fans, Caleb Williams went – I'm out of here. This is big boys fighting.
Out of the scuffle very quickly. But I think, I mean, those are emotions running high, probably because your offense was a little frustrated. They weren't able to move the ball in that team period. I believe that was on the first team rep of first or second team rep of the first series, you know, for, they had three different series there. So it was the first one, but I think what went wrong was a lot of it has to do with the cadence, and even hearing what Matt Eberflus said, that they want to be on the same page, where that's a tool that you can use. And of course, you know, us being in the NFC North, we saw Aaron Rodgers get people to jump off sides on third down a lot with the hard count. And even last year, what Flus brought up today, they won a game because they got that free play when Aiden Hutchinson jumped off sides against Detroit at home. And those are the moments. I think even Tyson Bagent got a free play today. Like, those are the things that you have to capitalize on. And that's a lot of classroom work, and that's a lot of work on the field together. Like, I remember, if you guys haven't seen this, Dan Orlovsky was on NFL Live. I want to say it was 2 weeks ago, and did, like, it was a 6 minute like segment, which was incredible, watching him talking about the different types of cadences and using your voice as a weapon. And that's something that Cole Kmet, like, when I asked him about it today, I think that he gave some really good insight into how they're learning based on, like, the sounds that they're hearing from Caleb Williams and how he's truly finding, I mean, you're using your voice, but he's finding his voice in all of this to make sure that he can be proficient at doing that. Cause that's a very difficult thing to learn when you're, you know, when you're in college, you're doing the clap, or you're looking to the sideline and you see a poster board with, like, different pictures and symbols
baseball, and stuff, screw.
On it. Yeah. Like, that's the spread offense for you. But, like, here it's very different. And this kind of feeds into an even bigger thing here about him going under center more and not being in shotgun nearly as much as he was. And you're not going to see too much of that now as they're going through the install. I mean, you will see him under center more, but, like, just knowing his proficiency at that, there were a couple play action throws today I thought that were pretty good. He's getting there. Yeah. Like, he's getting there. He's learning a whole new offense. So those are the things you expect to happen when you're learning a brand new scheme.
No, and I think it really speaks to, one, every week we've been here, they've looked better. They really have. It has not been, you know, okay, we're a week away from the last time we were here, and I'm seeing a lot of the same mistakes. It looks like, yes, there's small incremental things that maybe continue to pop up, but they do look better. I think the voice inflections and stuff like that was something that we continued to see at this moment get the offensive line more than the defensive line. We saw about, I'd say, probably six false starts.
Yeah, I think Flus said it was like half a dozen in that period, which is it's not great. You don't want that.
No, but I think that it is, you know, when you hear the negatives, it's we're at this point in the season. If we get, you know, midway through training camp, we're still seeing that. All right, we got problems. And that was an issue that we had last season, false starts, problems with that. We started the season off, I believe, last year, literally on a false start. But I think it is just everybody still figuring out who Caleb Williams is, how he goes about, you know, okay, what does he sound like on this when he's doing a hard count? What does that sound like? Okay, where do we need to be when he's making this play? It's everybody still learning what everything is. And I want people to calm down, because I know X is probably going mad right now hearing that Caleb Williams threw an interception or that people were false starting already.
I think that it all goes hand in hand, though. Like, this is a brand new offense. So if you're one of the people who is freaking out, like, ask yourself why. It's June, guys. Like, and it's hard to come on this podcast every single week and tell people to slow your roll, because I get it. You want to see progress. But right now, the progress is incremental. It's not going to look massive. Like, where I think will be justified, and I want to say freaking out, but justified in concern, is that if days like this happen second week of August, where there were moments last year like that we just kind of knew that Justin Fields and these receivers were not on the same page.
Yeah.
And when you're in training camp and that's happening, that's a far worse sign than it happening right now. And same with the offensive line, the cadence, the whole thing, false starts, whatever.
In the moments, though, I'll say this, even in, you know, some of the full drills outside of the 7-on-7 and stuff like that, he gets rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah.
He's very decisive. He does not take time to, okay, I got to wait and see when he's going to open up. He's throwing anticipatory throws. He's doing all of the things that we heard he could do.
Sure.
And so, Bears fans, be excited about that. Caleb Williams, to me, right now, I think he's taking the lumps that he's supposed to take. These are not, oh my God, we may have a problem here. Go nuclear now.
And nobody in this building, I can tell you from people I've talked with, feel that way.
Yes.
Like, this is very early. There's no red flags. There's nothing that would make you think, oh wow, he's not getting it. I think he is getting it. I think what you're watching out there, when there are good periods and there are not so good periods, like the next 2 days, really keep an eye on what's going on. Like, I can't wait to see him in a red zone period again, to see like how much different he operates, how much faster his footwork speeds up when he's inside the 20, like compared to that practice from 2 weeks ago that everybody was freaking out about.
And I'll say the one thing that we kind of get access to that everybody doesn't get from the Twitter videos and the YouTube shorts and stuff like that is we kind of get to see some of the sideline stuff when they're near us. The one thing I saw that I thought was awesome was period. I want to say 7-on-7 period. Tyson. No, it wasn't 7-on-7. It was when they were doing 11-on-11. But Tyson Bajor does a little hand movement, tells Tyler Scott to come in. And after the play runs, Josh Jackson's like, what the heck was that? Like, I don't remember something. And Caleb immediately walks over to him, does the signal, explains it to him. So Caleb's not only just learning it, he's learning it to a point where he can teach it. I think that that tells you where he is. And Flus echoed as much about him learning this offense.
That was what he said was his most impressive part of him, like just the ability to learn. Because they're throwing a lot at him. And you go back 2 weeks ago, Flus said that they're not holding anything back from him, which, you know, for a rookie, and not that they're going to say, like, they would never say something along the lines of we're putting training wheels on, but a lot of times you have to do that with rookie quarterbacks to get them up to speed, which sometimes takes longer than, you know, for some people than others. But to hear that they're giving him everything he needs to have at this time of year, and they're expecting that he can retain it and that he can go out and execute it and learn from what he did the day before, only to like not make the same mistake the second day. Like that's a big sign of like their trust in him for sure.
Yeah. The cool part as we transition here, and appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. The cool part about being out here today was it was alumni day. So the alumni were getting a barbecue in. There was a ton of players up here, got to see J-Mac. And I was standing out there when the defense kind of started to show out a little bit, standing right next to Jerry Azuma. So you know who he's out there for. He could care less if Caleb Williams is throwing touchdowns. He wanted to see what this defense was doing. And he left with a smile on his face because I think early on, they were watching up top. You kind of saw the offense get after him. But the part that I actually thought was so what I want to see from this Bears defense is it is more than just that moment. How do you adjust to it? I thought they adjusted phenomenally. And the defense had a lot of positives today.
They did. And, I mean, they won that final team period where it was the 2-minute drill and the situation, and you know, they're getting in the heads of their offense at times. I mean, there was a moment like DeMarcus Walker's going up to the offense's huddle and grittying before like they break and like the play's about to begin. And obviously that can't ever happen like in a real situation, but I think it's their way of asserting dominance, and they should to a degree.
Yes.
You've got to prepare Caleb Williams and this unit for what to expect. And the O-line right now, no Nate Davis today. He's still, I don't know if he's in a ramp up period. I think he was limited regardless, but he's here. It was Matt Pryor who was at right guard. And then today, unlike OTAs on Friday, it was Ryan Bates at center. So no Coleman Shelton. I mean, he was here, but like he wasn't taking all the reps with the ones during that period. So, but like regardless, like I think trying to rattle the offense is a good thing for them, the offense, to learn how to respond to, because this defense is loud. And like, I think Keenan Allen said, they look like a top 5 defense.
Yes.
Because they know what they're doing. They are comfortable in the calls that are being made. And even Montez Sweat, who has not been practicing because, you know, he's gone all of the on-field portion of OTAs. He was here for some of, or I think he's been communicating with the staff. Like
right.
He's been part of the classroom work stuff, but like for him to like still be in a ramp up period, they said that they expect him at some point this week to maybe get involved in some team stuff. Hearing kind of his perspective on what the defense is doing and, you know, how similar it is, but also maybe like some of the changes that are, like, we're going to expect to see. Certainly not now because they're still like in the install portion, but I just there's a comfort with this defense that did not exist at this time last year.
Yes.
Really didn't. Because I mean you had a, you know, a young cornerback that you were trying to break in Tyreek Stevenson. You had to have him go through his lumps, and he certainly did, thanks to DJ Moore throughout OTAs and training camp. And now you've got a group that all of those guys at least have been together for one season going into year two. Some of them on the back end have been together for 3 years, like Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson, and Jaquan Brisker. So it's a good spot for them to be in. And I think the addition of Kevin Byard is really, really impressed that unit, just with what they expect him to bring and where all he can play.
Yeah, I thought the defense, to me, seeing them bounce back, seeing them, okay, you got a little bit of your oats, it kind of fired them up even more. And D-Walk, like I said, he never stops talking. But I thought that it was really it wasn't to the point where it was disrespectful. I think at times it got a little too far last season. Maybe they've reined that in a little bit more this season. But I thought that seeing the fire they came out with, but then saying, okay, but we also can back this up. This isn't just us talking. Sure. This isn't just us getting in your head. We're in the right spots. We're comfortable. To me, and I think, like you said, Keenan Allen said it the best, this is a defense that, returning to me, is one of the best defenses in the NFL. Now, you still have to be able to create pressure. You still have to, you know, figure things out with Montez Sweat opposite of him. We'll see what that ends up being. But the fact that you've got a team right now that has something that it can hang its hat on to start the season is not something you had starting the season last year.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a big difference this
season. And it's fine for the defense to be ahead of the offense at this time of year. I think that's what you would expect. But for that expectation to become a regular expectation in season, like, or in going into the season in training camp, I think is a very realistic one. Like, this unit has been together for a long time.
Yeah.
And like, it, comparatively speaking, Matt Eberflus has been, you know, has been his system for 3 years. And I know, like, someone said they felt like the best part of this defense was the front seven. I think that there would be some who, yeah, you know, disagree with that, just because the sack numbers, the pressure stats, the QB hits, all of those things are still lacking a little bit. But, you know, the secondary is the strength of this team. Like, anytime we're going to be talking about, like, well, what is their best asset in Chicago? You're going to be talking about the back seven more than anything else. And I think the five that you have in that secondary can go up against anybody. And that's a good thing to boast, considering the types of quarterbacks that they will end up in a team that they're going to end up going against this year, where guys are not going to be afraid to test. You know, you don't have somebody who's a rookie out there like Tyreek Stevenson was last year, who's going to get tested every single game. Like, they're going to have to make conscious decisions about where they throw. And it's like kind of a pick your poison thing. So they're in a good spot with that. And I would imagine that this secondary, this whole defense, will leave mini camp OTAs and go away for the summer feeling fairly good about the work that they got in the last 5 weeks.
No, 100%. I think the part that was echoed between them, right? I think it was Keenan that said that the front seven, he feels like that's a weapon for the Chicago Bears.
Some might not agree with that just yet.
I agree with you, but I think even Montez saying, you know, talking about Javon, saying he's got all the tools, he's just got to take the chains off and be able to get after it. That's the linchpin of this team. That is the, okay, if that happens, what does this defense
that
now
takes
become?
That defense from good to great.
Yeah.
Like, that is the answer to that question. Anytime you ask, like, what is this defense going to be? What can it be? They figure out that pass rush. They're a very, very dangerous unit.
It's going to be interesting to see kind of how they address that. I saw, I think it was Ben Devine on Twitter was talking about, you know, the Bears are still looking to address the pass rush position, but maybe at a bit of a discount. I don't know. I guess at this point, everybody's a discount now because the few players you have left. We saw this last season where Yannick Ngakoue probably wanted more than $10 million a year, but it got right before the season. He's like, I got to play somewhere. So maybe you're able to get a little something out of that. Defensively, though, I think that this unit has a lot of good things going for it. Who's the standout right now that you've seen kind of over the few weeks that we've been here defensively?
Ooh, I'd probably say, you know, on the back end, watching Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, I mean, it's not just the interception today, but like how he's integrated himself into that secondary.
He's playing quarterback back there. Almost.
He's been here the entire time. Yeah. Like, most of the secondary was gone last week. I mean, he was gone too, but like the first OTA, watching, you know, how quickly he put himself into the mix and like how he knew the calls and was relaying the calls, and, you know, watching him and Jaquan Brisker already starting to form that relationship back there, where a lot of that's going to end up having to be nonverbal cues to where, like, you're like, who's talking on the back end of the defense to make sure. I mean, most times it's your nickel who's doing that, but you know, for a veteran safety who I believe is now 8 or 9 years into his career, that should be a role he fulfills pretty quickly.
We've got an interesting player on this team that seems to be the darling of this team, and Torrey Taylor.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to hear about Torrey.
Yeah, everybody loves a punter.
Everybody loves a punter. I've never seen so much punter love. What's been your takeaway from him early on? I tweeted out the video after mini camp today of him. I mean, listen, it comes off his foot different. Yeah. I'll say that much. He hits bombs.
Like, it's like boom that comes out of, you know, comes off his foot. I wonder what they're going to do as far as, like, with kickoffs and all of that. Yes. Like, what they might want to use him there. And, like, I mean, we heard Kansas City mention this the other day that, like, they're going to think about using Justin Reed on kickoffs and keep Harrison Butker just, like, for, you know, field goals and for PATs. I don't know if that's in the works here. I'd be very curious to see come training camp if that's something that they want to explore. But it feels like it's a good – like, they expect him to be a weapon. So I feel like they're going to have to use him in more than just flip the field situations as a punter.
Is there any, and I thought of this the other day, and I probably need to look this up, but you can drop kick on kickoffs, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Australian rules football, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe there's a little drop kick action from Torrey Taylor in here. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, special teams and, like, what we're going to use the preseason to determine, like, those kickoff rules. Like,
yeah.
You know, even today, it just, everything happens so fast.
It's, but it's like, so it's just like, quick.
Whoa. Like, you kind of have to, like, you see where the ball goes. And, you know, the amount of returners that they were using. I mean, Greg Stroman was back there. Velus Jones was back there. Tyler Scott. Khalil Herbert. Yeah. Like, it feels like this is going to be a way for a lot of guys to, Simba Webster, like, to guys who want to get a roster spot or at least be on the practice squad for, you know, those purposes one day. This is a good spot, like, for them to try to make their hay, because this is where you need your burners back there. And, you know, seeing them today kind of use two different kickoff returners, like, and that's something Richard Hightower said. They're not just going to use one, like, and then have the other guy be a blocker. Like, right. Seeing Velus in that role too, like, vice versa, like, one or the other is going to be really intriguing.
I think it's what's getting me excited about it is, and I don't know if you guys have seen the kickoff yet or not. If you haven't, check out the UFL or the XFL. Mm-hmm. But it's so, I've seen the XFL version of it, and just seeing this in practice, like, they kind of know what they're doing, and it's so much faster. It is so quick. And they're using bigger bodies on it. I saw Dom Robinson on kickoff. I saw Austin Booker. Austin Booker. I was going to say Austin Eckler. I was like, not him. Austin Booker on kickoff.
You can experiment with so many different types of bodies for those blocking roles, which, because, I mean, you have less field to cover now. So you don't have, like, they have these guys having, like, a running head start.
And I'm telling you, one block opens everything up. I wonder, me and Jeff Meller have been kind of debating this back and forward. I wonder if teams are just going to say, give them the 5 yards, because legitimately it's one block opens up probably a touchdown if they get back there. I wonder if we're going to get to a point where either the NFL is going to say, you have to kick it, don't go to the touchback. They increase the penalty on the touchback to make it more worth it. Or if you go, you know, it's not worth it. Give them the 5 yards. I got a top five defense. I'm not worried about
it. Yeah. No, I mean, the strategy that comes with it, and even, like, is the touchback going to still be a thing?
Yeah.
That's going to be something that I think they have to experiment with in these preseason games, which actually gives them more of a purpose than they've had in previous years, like, how they're going to operate with the kickoff. And you're going to get a lot more chances, I think, because there won't be touchbacks probably more. I mean, I don't think they go away completely, but just seeing how many guys they're going to try to rotate in and out, especially on those return units, I am really excited to see come training camp with those position battles, if it creates an intriguing competition for some guys.
I think it's going to become strategy again, like you said, right? It's going to depend on the team, because There's some teams that are great in coverage and you're not going to be able to get past them, and it's worth it for them to kick it to you at the five and make you run it out. And there's other teams that are going to absolutely suck. And we've seen those where it's just like, boot it through the end zone, start him at the 30. We'll hope for the best. It's going to be based on how good your defense is, how good your special teams unit is. It's going to be interesting to see. It's been fun watching it, though. And I'll tell you what, the loudest coach out there is Coach Hightower.
He's got a lot of guys he's responsible for.
He's all over it. Before we get up out of here, Courtney, one thing leaving today that you would like to see maybe improve upon tomorrow?
You know, I think, and it's still like, this is their first day together, absolutely, but like what Keenan Allen said about, you know, working with Caleb Williams, I would like to know just by the end of these 3 days, I just want to see more of that. I think Roma Dunze and DJ Moore have well established that chemistry, but like how these next 2 days look for Keenan Allen and Caleb Williams, like, and it sounds like they're going to be throwing together in the off season, which is good. I mean, that's the stuff that you want to hear. And Caleb's going to be here. He's going to learn a lot the next couple of months. Just more of that same operation, less false starts. I think that's how you can gauge progress within this offense. And, you know, seeing how much quicker they can go in certain situations. We know that the red zone's going to call for it specifically. So that would probably be a Thursday thing.
Probably.
That by the time we get there, you really hope that if you're the Bears, you hope that it looks a lot different execution-wise than last time we saw that.
We'll see what this team's going to do. Bears have a lot of positives coming out of today. I think that this was the best for the team. Maybe the offense having some up and downs. You look at the offenses, okay, maybe they got worse or better, however you look at it. But the team as a whole, to me, got better today, and I love that. I appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down more. Me and Jason McKee on, I believe we have a special guest coming on, if I'm not mistaken. So stay tapped in with us for that as well. Outside of that, though, appreciate you guys for showing love. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. For Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Peace. Right out.